This is the fifth Sunday of Easter, so we have two more Sundays to go in the Easter season. But as we get later in the Easter season, our lectionary readings begin to turn to words of encouragement and inspiration that were offered to those first disciples as they prepared to live without the immediate physical presence of Jesus, their leader and their Lord. The passage from John's Gospel that we just heard comes in the midst of Jesus' final discourse, his final instructions to his disciples after they have shared the Last Supper. In that discourse, he is preparing them for his imminent departure. He will no longer be with them in the same way that he has been with them to this point. So he starts with words of encouragement, words of hope, words intended to ease their anxiety. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself." If we believe in him, if we follow his lead, if we live as his disciples, then we can rest assured that he will prepare a place for us and take us to the Father's house. But despite these words of encouragement, the disciples remain anxious and confused. Thomas wants a clearer roadmap. Perhaps Jesus' words were too mysterious to him. So he says to Jesus, "We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" After Jesus explains very simply that he is the way, Philip then speaks up, wanting a little more proof, a little more direction. So Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied." In this exchange, the disciples may come across as a little dense, clearly not understanding, not comprehending the significance of what is before them. But thankfully, this exchange reminds us that the disciples were flawed human beings. That the folks who followed Jesus back then were not some elite band of spiritual warriors. They were regular folk who had a hard time figuring things out, who worried, who wanted reassurance that everything was going to be okay. Jesus has told them that in the end, everything will be okay. He is going to prepare a place for them and for us. But still, they want details. They want more reassurance. Jesus tells these anxious disciples, in response to that, he tells them something that not merely seeks to comfort them, but rather seeks to inspire. Jesus says, "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these." It must have been a shocking thing for those disciples to hear. Over the last few years, they had seen unimaginable things in the presence of Jesus. Water turned to wine, bread multiplied to feed the multitude. The blind saw, the lame walked, and the dead rose. these fragile creatures, these human beings, who were still having a hard time figuring it all out, have just heard their teacher tell them that they will do greater works than he has accomplished already in their presence. Greater works than these. Just like those early disciples, we are often anxious and worried, desiring reassurance. Are we really doing what is right? Are we on the right path? What are we really accomplishing here? And just as he told those early disciples, Jesus tells us that we can do greater works in his name if we believe. If we turn to him, we can certainly do greater works through him who has since ascended to the Father, where he is able to intercede on our behalf. In the passage that we just heard from the first epistle of Peter, the early church is told some pretty extraordinary things about their role. Just as Jesus was a living stone, we are called to be living stones, to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood. So in that first epistle of Peter, we are told that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember that this epistle was not originally directed to some inner circle, but rather it was directed to churches throughout Asia Minor, churches that were suffering from persecution, whose folks were scared and uncertain. But those are the folks who constitute the royal priesthood, the living stones. So between the passages from John's Gospel and Peter's first epistle, we are told that we will accomplish greater works than were accomplished by Jesus during his earthly ministry, that we are living stones, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. That's who we are. It's who we are called to be. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You are a royal priesthood, and you will do greater works than these. The story of Stephen's martyrdom that we heard in the reading from Acts provides us with one such example of the greater works that Jesus foresaw. Stephen had just been set aside by the leaders of the early church to help care for the widows and the poor in their midst. And soon thereafter, he was arrested and responds boldly to his arrest by testifying before the council about the good news of Jesus Christ. The council, as we heard in today's passage, became enraged and stoned him to death, making him the first martyr. But this mere mortal, Stephen, as he is stoned to death, nonetheless finds the strength, passion to follow the example of Jesus. With his final words, Jesus shows us what such greater works look like, as he, in words very similar to those that Jesus spoke from the cross, says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." There are few greater works than someone offering forgiveness to those who persecute them, to one's very executioners. And many more Christians have followed in Stephen's footsteps in such greater works. Those who have refused to meet violence with violence. Those who have loved their enemies despite the risks. And we know that in the centuries that followed Christ's words to his apostles at that Last Supper, that Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit have cared for the sick, have housed the homeless, have fed the hungry in millions at this very corner of God's kingdom. We have been feeding the hungry multitude every Saturday morning for years. Greater works indeed. But we must continuously ask ourselves, challenge ourselves, how are we living into that calling to be living stones, to be a royal priesthood? We know this. We can take Jesus at his word. There are greater works happening here, and there are more to come.